Hey, ladies
Okay.
and gentlemen, I'm Oluwaseun Winsala. Welcome to this fresh episode of Bias Football Takes. I'm not riding alone today. Obuna is not yet back, but we have someone from all the way from Nigeria. Well, it seems like everybody around us is they are becoming family men. We have one of them. We have one of them on the show. We have Chike on the show. Chike, thanks for not allowing me to do this alone today.
You're welcome. I just got permission from Madame, so as like you said, as a family man now, management has to sign off on anything I do. So management just gave me 1 hour to engage
just to
in
engage,
engaging
yeah.
this.
Thank God, she's not doing the Nigerian team of no grief for anybody. She grief
Yeah, I
for us
mean,
well.
no, I mean, she's a huge sports fan,
Okay, so
so
she grief for us.
in fact, she actually pushed me to do this. So she was
Oh,
like, "Ah,
nice,
don't I
nice.
have something to do?" I'm like, yeah, I do. She was like,
Yeah,
"Go
so
ahead."
no grief for anybody. Thank God, grief was for us. So I was December for you now. I was the whole event.
Yeah, I mean, December was all about getting married for me. So yeah, I mean, it was great. I had it in the East. It was nice. It was a lot better than I planned. Of course, the build up, the lead up to the wedding itself was stressful, which I guess is normal. But the day itself, it came and went, and it was better than I expected. And I mean, I can just all I can do is just thank God. It was a beautiful day. And if I had a chance, I'll do it all over again with the same person, please. Not to be precise.
That's cute. So you do it again. Tell me, you're really a rich man, no? You want to see your wedding
Dirty rich man. In
again?
this APC times, there are no rich
Ah,
people.
oh well. I
Yes.
heard, heard, I heard, heard, I heard it. So if my friends just got back from Nigeria and they give me some of the things that happened in Nigeria, well, we got an episode. So for those that don't know, I've been trying to make this man come to move to the US because of time zone. Every time we want to have this show record, there's always like reconciliation of timing, and which most of the time doesn't work because by the time we're ready, it's like midnight is time, which is kind of a stretch. But we have
I'm
to
30 plus now. I'm 30 plus, so we go to bed
finally.
very
You're the first 30 plus man in the world that would know that is 30 plus.
No, see, I, see,
Married
when you
good
see, when you see my headline, you know that no, this one is 30 plus.
Marriage is good. Marriage is good. I like that. I like that. Yeah, you turn a new leaf. I remember in those days where I always send you random pictures of, oh no, random picture. I would see someone tweet about a girl, and I'll say, "Oh, look at this," and you'd be like, "No, you're not looking. You're a faithful man." So that's good. That's good. I like that.
The vice president of the Faithful Black Men Association, Lagos
I
chapter.
like that. You're already in fourth. You're already in fourth.
But how about you? How was your January? And sorry, how was your December? How
December.
was the whole Christmas period?
It was lucky for me. I just moved, so I just started to enjoy my moving. I enjoy my new place, and football was doing a lot of games, so I watched a lot of them. And I saw a lot of movies and documentaries that I've been planning to watch. So it was good. It was good. It was a good period for me. And I took some days off, like 3 days off plus Christmas Eve, New Year. So all that was like a week plus for me to just not do much. So
Nice,
it was
nice,
at the same
nice.
time. And to thank God, Arsenal and Tottenham gave me Christmas gifts each, and Arsenal decided to give me New Year gifts. So it's for freedom that you must collect these gifts. You must.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Arsenal, but I really don't know. I didn't see this sort of stumble coming in. I mean, especially when you consider that they're not missing lots of players to injuries or the AFCON and stuff like that. So it's pretty much the same guys. They started very well and they've just hit like a stumbling block. But let's see how they navigate this period, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see that coming. Three games in a row now.
So speaking of Arsenal, what do you think the issue is?
Oh, I don't know. And this was something that I even discussed with Dotun recently. I agree with him to an extent. I just feel like they've become a bit predictable. One thing about the Premier League is that, in fact, not just the Premier League, one thing about sports is that, I mean, there's a reason why they are, what do you call it, video coordinators and, people that's, scouting reports and stuff like that. They put together, they see what, they put, reports on your team and they see what you're doing and they try to neutralize you. And I think for Arsenal, what seems to be the problem with them is that most people already know how to neutralize them, they're not a very fluid team in terms of positions. Saka is always going to be on the right, Martinelli or Trossard is always going to be on the left. Things like they don't mix things up, they don't switch things up, and they're a good team. I'm not saying this is a bad team, but I guess people are starting to figure out their plan A and how to neutralize their plan A. So maybe they have to look for a plan B. And also some of the guys that were able to, some of the guys that, would I say punch, we are punching above their, I don't want to say they were punching above their waist, because in a way that would like discredit what they were doing last season. So Saka, Martinelli, Odegaard, they had a phenomenal season, especially the second part of last season, or at least from November onwards, they were very outstanding. I believe they each hit double figures in goals, and I think Odegaard had double figures in assists. The numbers were good, but it was not just, it went beyond the numbers. The eye test shows that what they were doing, they were playing at a very high level. And this season they struggled a bit to get to that same level, especially Martinelli. I believe there's a little bit of a drop there. Saka, the problem with him, I think they've found him out a bit. And it's not like a problem. It's not like I'm saying that's a huge worry. Remember, these guys are very young. Saka is like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe he's more than 22. He's probably 21 or something. So these guys have years and years to improve, to add to their gameplay. So me saying they've found a way to neutralize him doesn't mean he's going, I'm saying he's going to be a bad footballer for the rest of his life. Far from that, but I think opposition managers, opposition teams, they found a way to neutralize Arsenal as they are right now. And they just have to work on a plan B. Because, like I said, the only missing player they have right now is Gabriel Jesus. And of course, Partey, but they've played without Partey for most of the season. So I don't believe that the absence of Gabriel Jesus should have this much effect on the team.
Building.
So I think it's
Saka
just
is Saka is 22.
okay, 22, yeah, okay. Yeah, so 22, yeah. So, I mean, there's still a lot to come from Saka, Martinelli, Odegaard. These guys are going to improve a lot more. They're going to be, one thing Louis van Gaal always said, even before he joined Manchester United, this has always been his stance on young players, is that the young players comes that risk of inconsistency. They are just a few players that don't, you don't have to worry about when inconsistency. People like Messi, Mbappe, Haaland, those generational talents. Even Cristiano Ronaldo, he had that problem with him at a
Yeah, I didn't
point.
shoot.
Yeah, but players like
Rooney.
Iniesta, yeah, Rooney, all these guys, you don't have to worry about the inconsistencies with them, because from if you are generational talents, But and Saka also is a fantastic player. Odegaard is as well. I'm a huge fan of both of them, especially Odegaard. But I think what we are seeing now is just a little bit of a dip in form, and it's up to the manager, honestly, to figure that out. I believe this is a problem that Arteta has to solve. I don't think the burden of getting out of this rut is on the players. I think it's Arteta that has to find a solution to whatever is going on right now.
I feel like if I'm Arteta, I would, I mean, in Saka's case, I would give him like 2 weeks of just go, don't talk about football, don't watch any games, just go, free yourself of any game, any football,
Yeah.
anything, football activities. Because that guy is he looks tired. Like we were, I remember when I was in college, then uni, I used to play PS a lot, like PS2 a lot. I realized that when I played a certain, like I played constantly, like every day, I start having same style of play, and I start playing a certain way, and people start beating me. But the moment I stop for like 2 or 3 days, I come back, I'm refreshed, I'm thinking about a new way, and I'm yeah. So I just feel like he's exhausted. Same with so I was talking to one of my friends yesterday about it, and I was like, Odegaard, Saka, a little bit at Martinelli, you have to find a way to manage them, give them breaks here and there. Unfortunately, Mr. Arteta doesn't have that creativity to balance things out. Even in games where he didn't need Saka, or Saka was at the brink of getting injured, he's still playing him. He's still
Yeah, I
playing
mean,
him. And
I totally agree.
it's like a situation with Barcelona, with Gabi, and all those Pedri, all those guys. The same
Yeah,
problem, the same thing we're saying.
exactly.
These guys are young, that they don't know how to like manage themselves by default. It takes time. It takes experience to know, okay, this is when I'm doing the game. I need to put in this tackles. I need to take these tackles. I need to sprint. I need to relax. I need the game to come to me. I need the ball to come to me. Like Mbappe is a good example. The way Mbappe, if you watch Mbappe, he doesn't sprint every game. He doesn't go after the, I mean, in the last 6 months, he has been doing that. But previously, he doesn't have to go towards the ball. He relaxes, he allows the game to come to him, he allows the ball to come to him. So it's one of those things that young players have to learn. And me personally, I'm of the opinion that young players shouldn't have so many games under their belt at an early age. That's why I'm scared for Garnacho. I'm really, really scared for Garnacho. I'm scared for Maino, because by the time they are at that, not peak, but at the age where they need to start producing goods, they are tired.
They will have had a
So
lot of mileages on their legs. Yeah, I
yeah,
totally agree with.
so yeah, so I don't, and that's why I like people like Ferguson, Mourinho. They will not allow young players to come and dictate football for them. They will not build that. I mean, maybe you have to be a generational talent to have that happen to you. And even at that, you still have to manage those players. Ferguson managed Carrick a whole half season not playing, because he knows that if you play Carrick at the beginning of season, you're wasting everybody's time. He knows, because you
But
have to
then
learn your player.
again, right? I think you all, I mean, I totally agree with you that these young players, they need to be managed properly. Because I mean, if you look at someone like Varane is what, 31 or 30, 31, and he's already burnt out. He has been playing
He looks
lots and
tired.
lots of games right from a young age, right from a very young age. But I think when you mentioned Fergie and all those guys, you are right. But then again, I don't think the pressure that was, I mean, football has changed now. Nowadays, is that fans are impatient, people want instant success. You know, if a manager doesn't do well in 6 months, everybody's, you know, is saying, oh, getting fired. You saw that with Graham Potter. You know, I mean, we see that daily. Even Arsenal, they made a run to almost win the league last season. Now they've hit the stumbling block, and there are people that are saying, oh, fire Arteta after just, you know, a few weeks of bad performances. I think that's how football is. So, and the thing now is that because managers are not just fighting for, they're not trying to like build long-term projects. They are thinking about survival. They want to save their jobs. They want to win instantly because that's what the modern game demands. I think there's that pressure to play the players who will deliver the most for them. And that's why you see, I mean, I know we'll get to this eventually, but that's why you see someone like Ten Hag always playing Bruno Fernandes and stuff like that, not giving him because he believes those are the guys that will get him the results. You know, Garnacho, the same thing. Arteta now has to play Saka, Martinelli because those are his best players.
I
Those are the
know the
guys
guys.
that, yeah. So I think someone like Fergie had job security, so he could afford to rotate and do all those things. You see that with Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola knows there is no way he's going to get sacked, so he has that luxury of you know, rotating properly. You can go like two games without seeing Vardy play or Ruben Dias play, or you know,
Or even
Foden,
KDB self.
KDB won't play for like three games. You know, even when he's fit, you know, things like that. We see that with Guardiola because he knows he has job security. Nobody is going to sack him, even Klopp to an extent. You know, but I think for the other managers that are not more, that are mere mortals, that know that they are, you know, they are on the hot seat, they have to produce
They are fighting for
everything
their
they can.
lives.
Exactly, they don't have that
Fighting for their
luxury.
lives.
So I understand from both sides, but just for the record, you're absolutely right. These young players, they need to be managed properly. They need to be managed properly.
And so I watched a particular analysis. I need to find that lady's, that babe's name. She made a very astonishing and very nice analysis. And I'm saying this on record because of Barton, Joey Barton. that said, oh, he doesn't understand why women would be pundits, football pundits. Because I don't understand that kind of statement. The same football that we're all watching. So what extra ability do you have as a man to be able to analyze football better than a woman? I need to understand that part. But she said that Arsenal, the reason why Arsenal is struggling right now, partly is because the midfield is overcrowded in a way that you have your fullbacks trying to join the midfield. And when people like Odegaard or Havertz get the ball, they need space to run to. They need, you know, but because it's so crowded, they need to make that pass. Because when you look up, there's somebody close. You have to make that pass as a midfielder. So I kind of understand, like, that's part of the things Arsenal is struggling with right now. If they can, I mean, I'm not giving it at the tire expo because I'm actually enjoying them struggle. But if they can drag those guys back, go back to 4-4-2 or four at the back, allow those guys in midfield the space to make fast passes without them slowing down, I feel like something will change for them. And speaking of that, do you also agree that they need a striker?
So I honestly believe that when everyone is on form, and I mean this might be a bit of a cliche, but when everyone is on form and when everyone is healthy, I believe that they're a very, very good side. I've said it in the past that, in my opinion, they are one of the best, if not the best, Premiership team when it comes to breaking down the low block. I enjoy watching them when it comes to that. But the problem now is two things. One, the players are off form. Two, Gabriel Jesus, who is their main striker, he's hardly ever fit. He has fitness issues. I think he's always, I don't have the numbers here, but last season he played, I'm going to, off the top of my head, I'll say about 50% of the games, because I know he was injured for about 3 months. And for the other games, I don't think when he got fit, he went straight into the starting 11. Like I said, I don't have the numbers here, so don't quote me on that. But if I had to guess, I'll say about 50%. That was like the number of games he played. And this season as well, he's currently injured, and that's a problem for them. So I think if you're going to get your hands on the Premiership title, you not only need a striker, you need a striker that is fit. So that's something that I think they should be looking at, because if, I mean, Gabriel Jesus, I really have no problem with him as a player. And I've been on record to say that last season, at the start of last season, before he got injured, I firmly believe he was Arsenal's best player. Now, the other guys, Odegaard, Martinelli, and Bukayo Saka, they picked up about halfway towards halfway into the season, or even before halfway into the season, and they were fantastic, right? They had the numbers and everything. But that fantastic start that Arsenal had, Gabriel Jesus played a very huge part in it. And I firmly believe he was their best player. And there's no reason to say he can't do that again. The problem now becomes availability. He's hardly ever around. And to wrestle this, to win the Premiership is not beans. It's not like winning the league, where, okay, you have to just beat PSG to win it. You have to fight off teams like Liverpool, first of all. You have to fight off Liverpool. Then the Spurs, they have strong head now. Aston Villa, I'm not going to mention the Chelsea and Manchester United. There's Newcastle. If Newcastle is fully fit, that's a strong team. Before you now talk about the treble winners, Manchester City. So for you to be able to get the title of those guys, every single person needs to be on form and fit. And right now, Arsenal is having a problem with the fitness, the availability of their top striker. So I believe that they should be looking towards getting a striker just for that reason alone. Because, and the good thing is that Gabriel Jesus is someone that can play off a striker. So he's not just he you know if there's a top nine in the team, he's not someone that will sit on that you can say, okay, this guy just has to be on the bench. He can play off the top nine. That's the good thing about him. We saw that at Manchester City as well when Aguero was starting. I know he prefers to be the main man up top, but he's a very versatile player. He can always find his way in a starting 11, even with natural strikers. So I think Arsenal should they need that. They really need that. If they have title winning aspirations, they'll need to get a top striker.
So my question is, so if you say they need to get a striker, Do you think if they get a striker in this January, do you think they would win the league?
So it's a very tricky one. I don't think getting a striker guarantees you winning the league because, again, remember I said there are people. Yeah, it's not just about Arsenal now. It's about getting ahead of the people in front of them. The Liverpools, the Manchester City. I mean, Manchester City lost KDB for 3 months, lost Haaland for a few weeks, and see where they slid to. That's how harsh the Premier League is right now. Manchester City is fourth right now. So that's the kind of league you're dealing with. So I don't know. I wouldn't say it would guarantee them. For me, I mean, before the start of the season, I always said, and as much as it pains me to say this because I'm a Manchester United fan, I always believed that Liverpool was going to win the league this season. And the only issue you are going to have was this AFCON period where Mo Salah was going to be unavailable. So if Arsenal gets a striker, will they be able to surpass Liverpool? I don't know. I don't know yet. It depends on who the striker is. It depends on a lot of things. But I know for sure if they have a striker, they'll be a lot better than they are right now. I know for sure.
So the reason I ask that question is because I have someone who comes regularly on the show. He's an Arsenal fan. And last season, he was always banging on, oh, Arsenal, they're ahead of schedule, yada, yada, yada. They were not
I
supposed to
think so.
contend. No problem. They were not supposed to contend for the title last season, but they won't mind winning it. That this season is when I got to win it. And I've seen them at the beginning of this year, like, okay, this season is their time to win it. And I've also seen them say that, oh, they can get Ivan Toney this January. And once they get him, they feel like they're going to win the league. And my question has always been to them is, do you think you have the capability or the capacity to purchase a player in January of Ivan Toney's stature of 150 million pounds in January as an Arsenal football club? That's a question I've asked them because and the thing is, my personal opinion, this is me. If you sign a player, a striker for 150 million in January, you cannot tell me anything. You have to win the league.
Yeah, that's the thing about spending. Even Rasmus Højlund, who is like 80 or so, look at the pressure on him already. So just think about signing a player twice that amount. Of course, there will be a pressure on you. I don't know. The thing about January windows are very tricky. No one wants to release their players in January. Obviously, for the right amount, people are going to let go of players. We see that every day for the right amount. And the whole issue of players being cooptied in the Champions League is no longer an issue. So you don't have to worry about that. I still don't see them forking out that amount in January. I think it's too high. I think Brentford are not willing to sell. They are in a relegation battle of their own. Maybe they're not in the relegation zone right now, but I don't think they're comfortable in the league. So they wouldn't be willing to let go of him. They need all the help they can get right now. I think Mbeumo is injured
He's
too.
injured, yeah.
Yeah, he's injured too.
Seems like
When the
much. I think much.
Yeah, Brentford, they're just so Brentford, they're 16th on the table. They've lost what, 5 games in a row, 5 league games in a row. So their form is bad. They wouldn't want to sell easily. So I don't know. It feels like I'm going around the circles here, but just to summarize, it depends on who they get. The good thing about Ivan Toney is that he's Premier League proven, so you don't have to worry about all those things like adjusting to the league, all those kind of things. I mean, of course, he plays in a London team. Brentford, they're in London already, so I mean, there's no like huge change in environment. Obviously, the club is a bigger club, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get a player here in January. But for the right amount, you can always get someone. That's the beauty of the market.
Anyways, I'm tired of speaking about Arsenal. I'm just tired. It's like this show is an Arsenal show. Let's move on, please. So at this part of the show, we were supposed to get Chike coming last week in the last episode, but he wasn't available. So we want him to do his own awards. I want to give him the opportunity to share his thoughts on the awards this mid-season. So, Chike, are you ready?
I believe so. I believe so. I
Okay.
believe so.
So, who is the player of the season so far for you?
I mean,
You can do.
I think the obvious answer for every. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I can
You
do
can
what?
do like you can do like four, five to three players, three to five players, then pick
Oh, let
one
me just do
person.
three. I'll just pick three players. So I think the obvious answer for everyone is Jude Bellingham. He
No,
has
no, no,
not
no, no,
only.
no, not the whole world, though. Come on now.
Oh, are you
EPL.
talking of EPL?
Yeah.
Oh, if it's EPL alone, then obviously it's Mo Salah. That has been my player
Okay.
of the yeah. But I mean, if you're talking about the entire Europe or the entire world, yeah, Jude Bellingham is. I mean, he has, like I said, he surpassed expectations. It's not just about. I know the thing about goal scoring, because everybody might say, "Hey, he's just scoring goals." Yeah, I mean, that's the most difficult part of football, scoring goals. That's why people pay a premium amount to goals for goal scorers. You know, it's very hard to do. It might seem like people like Van Nistelrooy or Philippe Nzagi were tapping in. You know, Chicharito, all those guys were just goal poachers. What's the name of that guy? The other guy, Mario Gomez for Bayern. And yeah, it might feel like those guys are just goal poachers. But that's the hardest thing to do in football. You know, to score goals is a
Putting
premium.
in
The
net.
premium, yeah, and Jude Bellingham has gone in. He's doing that. He's also doing the work of the midfielder. He's justifying his price tag. Madrid, they've lost just one game all season, and that's to Atletico Madrid in the derby. They are on top of the league. They won their group. They might win the Super Copa España this weekend.
This
I mean, they're
weekend,
playing. Yeah, so he's had a fantastic start to his career at Real Madrid. And yeah, for me, I think that's a no-brainer. He's the number one. But if you are speaking of the Premier League alone, he has to be Mo Salah. This is like one of his best seasons of his career. And
I
remember, this
agree.
is someone who has won. He has won the league for them, won the Champions League. He has won the Golden Boot on three occasions, even though he shared two of them. But this season is on another level. It looks like it's on another level, because this
I agree.
Liverpool team is still trying to adjust to, you know, the new midfielders they have. And Henderson is gone. Fabinho is gone. You know, this doesn't look like the Liverpool of old that we're, you know, solid in every single department. You know, Robertson is getting injured now. He's getting older, getting injured. You know, so there are weaknesses in this team. But you know, Salah is carrying the entire team. 14 goals and eight assists in the league and in all competitions. 18 goals and nine assists in 27 games. You know, they've lost just one domestic game, and that was that controversial loss to Spurs.
Suppose.
You know, the other two losses have been in the Europa League, where they've, you know, of course, you know, the sorry, the, yeah, this Europa League, you know, they play their what do you call it? It starts, the, you know, they change a few players, they mix their lineup and all those kind of things. They don't play their strongest side. But yeah, Mo Salah has been I'll say he's a close second to Jude Bellingham. And my third is Lautaro Martinez. I've been very impressed with him ever since the World Cup, pretty much. You know, he had a proper stink at the World Cup, and he even lost his starting spot, I believe, at some point in the World Cup. But he has really bounced back for Inter. This season, he has 18 goals and four assists. You know, he has Inter on top of the Serie A. It looks like they're going to win the Scudetto, except Juventus somehow, because Juventus have that advantage of not playing in any European competition. So they are not going to, when it gets to the business end of the season, they're going to be playing pretty much one game a week. While Inter, if they make a deep run in the Champions League, they're going to be playing twice a week, you know, all these kind of things. So Juventus might have a slight edge there. But on an individual level, Lautaro Martinez has been phenomenal for Inter. Like I said, 18 goals and four assists. He's third on my list.
So I'm a natural hater. I'm a natural hater. I
Of
hate like by default. But this season I have to give it to Salah for like in
yeah.
EPL. I have to give it to him in EPL. Like I have to like for the beginning of the season, I felt like yeah, this guy is onto something. So manager of the season so far.
Ooh, manager of the season. I think I'll say Unai Emery.
Nice.
Unai Emery, I mean, look what he's doing with Aston Villa. They are second in the league right now. They've won the same number of games as Liverpool, you know, 13 games. I mean, they're not just avoiding defeats at home, they are winning at home, and they've beaten some very good teams. They beat Arsenal, they beat Manchester City at home. So those are very, very outstanding results. They are also scoring at a very high level. So this season, only Manchester City has outscored them 45 goals. They have 43 goals, tied with Liverpool. Their defense might be a bit leaky. I know they've conceded 27 goals, even though, but that's okay. That's not, you know, that's to be expected. You know, they've had some huge defeats. At the beginning of the season, the opening game, I think it was a 5-1 defeat to Newcastle. So all those kind of results skewed their goal difference a bit. But Aston Villa, what Unai Emery has done with them has been nothing short of phenomenal. And it also helps that he has Monchi as a director of football. You know, Monchi is someone who knows what he's doing. He's not a newbie. In fact, he's arguably the best, at least one of the top three director of football in Europe at the moment. So having that kind of person with that kind of CV at Aston Villa, it really helps. So the combination of him and Unai Emery has really changed their fortunes. I mean, things are just going on well for them, you know. I'm trying to remember, did they win? I believe they won their Europa Conference League group. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they did.
They did, right? Yeah, okay, yeah, they did. They won four of their six games there. So yeah, they're doing very well. The other teams that do quite well to me is, you know, expected, like Klopp being top of the league, or, you know, if you want to look elsewhere, or in other competitions, like Inzaghi being top of the
Inter.
Serie A, you know, all those kind of things. Yeah, all those ones are expected. But I
Expected,
think
yeah.
the biggest overachievers this season have been Aston Villa. And when you consider that they've lost some key players to injuries, even though they are players that we might not rate, but for them, they are key players. So Tyrone Mings and even Coutinho, you know, those are key players for them, you know, to be able to replace them, to be able to overcome all those kind of setbacks. You have to give them props. So for me, Unai Emery has been my manager of the mid-season so far.
Okay, so this part is this is where it gets interesting. Flop of the season for you.
Did you also say disappointment of the season? Because I want to make
Oh
sure
yes,
I have two people. Okay,
So
there's flop
I
of the
had
season and
to
disappointment of the season. Okay.
yes. So flop of the season is like, okay, this person, how did I define it? I think
No, don't worry. You don't need to define it. There's just one person, and that's Andre Onana. You don't need to decide it. It's just one. The thing about football is very funny, right? In fact, not just football, sports is very funny because confidence can make a huge difference in a footballer's life, you know. In fact, in an athlete's life. Because these guys are, if you put jokes apart, these are excellent athletes, you don't understand. It's not easy to get to be a professional athlete by being poor in your field. You know, I know we
True.
might call we I know when we joke, we might call some people O2. You might say things like, ah, this McTominay is an O2, Fred is an O2, you know. You might joke and say, this Modric now
McTominay
O2, you know, all those things. So I know all those, I get all those bands. But the truth is that these guys are actually top athletes. Just last season, Onana had the most clean sheets in the Champions League. You know,
O2.
he was the best goalkeeper in the Champions League. You saw what he did in the Champions League final. He stopped Haaland from scoring, I think, like twice. You get these are so I so the, when he came in, you know, the confidence has been shattered, like properly shattered. And what we're seeing now, this guy is a shell of himself. He has considered, what was it, 40 like 47, 45 or whatever you get. I
You know,
mean,
there's a meme going around that's saying
have you
that
seen it
you're invited
Onana at
at
50?
50.
No, but I mean, he doesn't inspire confidence. I saw what, and to me, I firmly believe he's the reason why United are out of the Champions League, you know, because the team actually played well. They scored, what was it, 15 goals or something like that, or 16 goals in the group stage, and they're out. Not just out, they're bottom of the table. It makes no sense, you know, it makes absolutely no sense. And he
But
had
hold on,
proper sneakers.
that part I said is the reason why we are out. You know the same thing you put said about the year. The year was the reason why United didn't go far. Remember?
Two things can exist, right? One is that United needed to move on from the gear. If United needed to improve, they needed to move on from the gear. I think that's the truth, that if you are what's it called, if you're being very honest with yourself, you have to admit another truth can be that Onana isn't the answer, you know.
So
So
now
you so
what's
you
so what's the next thing now to move on to another goalkeeper?
No, so the thing is that you have to write it out to Onana. Onana is not, you know, the thing about players like that is not that I honestly feel like Onana's only a confidence issue. The talent is there. We've seen it before. So it's not as if this guy, Joe, it's not like he's a young player who isn't that. We've seen it there. So whatever it is that, you know, the manager can do to instill that confidence in him, let him do it, you know. One thing about like Ange Postecoglou at Spurs is that he knows how to inspire confidence in his players. You've seen Richarlison pick up. You've seen, I mean, this is a team that lost Harry Kane. And if not for the multiple injuries to the spine of their team, you know, Maddison got injured, Van de Ven got injured, you know, all those guys, Romero got suspended, Bissouma too got suspended. If not for all those things, where multiple players were out for long spells, multiple key players were, he would have been higher up on the table. You get the thing, the good thing about him is not just about his tactics, because I mean, yes, the tactics play the role, but he's just someone who knows how to inspire confidence in players. We know with Klopp too, Klopp knows how to inspire confidence in players. So if there's a way that, you know, that can be done for Nana, because that to me, I mean, I'll call it I still maintain he's the flop of the season, of the mid-season so far, but I believe it's a confidence issue. There's still talent there somewhere. There's still
Okay,
his talent there somewhere. Yeah.
so let's move to the next one. Disappointment of the season.
Sancho, he's an idiot.
Okay,
I firmly believe he needs to spend some time in jail. If I was any of his Manchester United teammates, I'm going to be very petty. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm just going to keep malice with him. I mean, how can you see your teammates suffering, you know, being, you know, struggling for form, all those things, and you know you can help out in some kind of way, but because of your ego, you don't want to apologize. You are
Is he
there.
can help? But
He
the manager doesn't want to play in. So I don't understand.
see the thing about, like I said, Ten Hag is fighting for his life, and he needs players that he knows, you know, can deliver. Sancho has had a certain problem, so it's not a talent problem. Is the way he applies himself. And you see it, body language, there's no energy, there's no, you get, there's that in training, he doesn't apply himself well. I know that's how this whole issue came about,
Yeah, but
something, a training
wait. So
problem.
the two things you are saying, right? Doesn't apply himself, body language on the pitch, on the pitch, then training. I will give you someone, Martial. Martial doesn't have the body language. Then the training. So I tell him at least these players are training, at least as the results we're having.
No, but
Do you
what
see
I'm
where I'm
saying,
coming from?
no. So for Sancho's own, you know, Sancho has always had a certain, has had disciplinary problems, and it's not just a Manchester United problem. So I believe right from when he was
City.
at no, not just City, at Watford, his youth career at Watford, he has had that problem. At City, he
I
has had
see.
that problem.
But
At
was a
Dortmund,
child in Watford now? Was it a
it
child?
doesn't matter. The signs are there. You know, you correct all these things. So at Watford and Manchester City, at Dortmund, he has had the same problems, showing up to training late, you know, all those kind of things. Manchester United is the same thing. You know, so I'm not saying that you can't have that problem, or you can't. So if you do it once, you know, there's no big deal. You know, Rashford came late to a team meeting last season, and he was benched in the first half against was it Wolves, right? You
Yeah.
get, and you know, he took it like a man. He was like, yeah, I messed up, sorry about that. He came in, scored the winner, everybody moved on. You get, but this guy is having the same problem over and over again. And you know, my guy is fighting for his life. What do you expect him to do? And right now, and no, Sancho has just been a big disappointment.
So
You look at this,
anyways,
yeah.
just
You look at people like what's his name? Pelistri, you know, Garnacho is starting week in, week out because Garnacho has even taken. People used to say, oh, Rashford is the starting left winger. Nobody can take Rashford's place. Guess what? Garnacho has taken that spot. So it can be taken. So are you telling me
so
that if Sancho didn't apply himself better, if he didn't play better, he wouldn't have taken Rashford's place? You guess,
You
so
know
those are
what?
the things.
Let's leave this discussion to when we want to discuss United. Let's move on. Moment of the season.
Oh, speaking of Garnacho, that overhead kick, that was my moment of the
Okay.
season.
I
Yeah,
think I
that
feel like
was.
a lot of people picked that.
Yeah,
Then
I mean.
any predictions that you want to give us? Anything, can be anything. Can say Onana will be the highest goal scorer in AFCON.
Nah, so
Anything.
my biggest prediction for 2024 is that Jurgen Klopp will leave Liverpool if he does not win the league.
This
Jurgen
season.
Klopp will leave Liverpool if he does not win the league. He'll take over the Germany job after the Euros, while Xabi Alonso will leave Bayer Leverkusen and join Liverpool. So those are my
Wow, interesting. Okay,
that's
okay,
my that's my big prediction for 2024.
okay, okay. Well, let's move on to the main topic of today. I know you'll be itching to talk about this. What is going on with your club, Manchester United?
Which club? My
Manchester
club is
United.
the Boston Celtics, so please.
Oh, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Every United fan like you guys are always disowning United. Like,
You
I don't know
see,
what's going on.
they say 2024 is a year of no grief for anybody. So I know the grief. Yeah, but
Crazy.
for United, like I've always said, it's different things. It's a coaching problem, it's a structural problem. I know the last time I was on this pod a few months ago, I was a bit lenient towards Ten Hag, and that was because
Thank God,
and
though.
that and that was because and I gave my reasons. I was actually impressed with what he did last season, and I still stand on that. I think what he did last season was commendable, given the various circumstances. The fact that he didn't have a proper striker for, I'll say, about 80% of the season, you know,
Of his
Ronaldo.
own doing, of his own doing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, I would, no, I don't think you should be quick to say of his own doing. I mean, how many managers can take what Ronaldo did? You know, how many managers do you think? Do you think,
Something's happened before that happened.
my brother,
The same thing that
okay.
is going on with Sancho. Some things happened.
My brother, do you think Alex Ferguson would have sat down and watched a player walk out of the stadium twice? Do
No,
you
things
hear?
happened.
No, no,
Ferguson.
just
Okay,
answer that. Do you think
wait.
Ferguson would have allowed that happen?
Ferguson is not a CC. Ferguson is not. Ferguson is a man's man. Ferguson will sit you down and tell you, "I'm not playing you this season. Find another club."
No,
That's
but
so Ferguson
no,
will not
but
get to that
no.
point.
No, but you followed Manchester United's off season for last year. Now that was what happened. Now you saw that what's his name? What's the name of this famous manager? Jorge Mendes tried everything possible to get Ronaldo a new club. Remember when he was linked to almost every Champions League team,
But
including
he did not tell him. He didn't sit him down now. He
where
said, "I'm
you,
telling him."
my brother, where you? How do you know? There's no way
Okay,
Mendes would
you
be
know.
trying to
So,
get a new club for him if he didn't do that.
the reason why I'm saying he did not sit him down, with the way the relationship has fractured, Ronaldo would have said, "Oh, this man told me at the beginning of the season that he doesn't want to play me." With the
No,
way he
no,
in for that
no,
interview,
no, no.
I believe 100% would
I
have said
don't,
that.
I don't, I don't, I don't agree with you. I think what
So
happened was
you
that.
think
I think
I'm
what
listening to you?
happened. I think what he what happened. I firmly believe what happened was that. See, I am not going to be able to play you week in, week out, or you know, you're not going to have that big role that you've had in the past on my team going forward, because there are some things that I want from my strikers or from that position that, quite frankly, you can't provide. Okay, now there is going to be a role for you, but it's going to be a reduced role. And Ronaldo clearly wasn't okay with that. Remember, he
Wait, so
reported,
my question is, you think that's what happened between both of them?
yes, that was the start of it. Now, that was clearly the start of it.
That what you think happened? Like that's what happened.
So, what do you think happened?
I believe he didn't sit Ronaldo down to tell him
How
that.
would you say that now? How would you say
I
that?
believe that. I'm
How would
telling
you say
you. You know
that?
why? You know why? Because it's a repetition of behavior. Notice all the INNs in the United in the squad right now have issues with Ten Hag one way or the
No,
other.
see, my problem. See, the thing about this Ronaldo issue is that people always felt like it was a Ten Hag issue. But he went to the World Cup, and you saw that he lost his starting position at the World Cup too. It just clearly showed
Only one
that.
game, oh. Only one game,
My
oh.
brother, it was the
Only
biggest game. It
one
was their
game, oh.
biggest game of that tournament.
Okay.
No, I think he started just 2 games. I don't think he started the third.
Only
This is the
one
third
game,
game.
oh. And until they beat
So
that team for a long time.
it doesn't matter. The fact is that their biggest game of that World Cup at that point, the quarterfinals, with the round of 16, he didn't start. That is
So
fact.
that means he lost his position. Is that what
Of
you
what
mean?
else? What else? What? No, at the World Cup, yes. Right now, he has regained it under a new manager, but the fact still remains that he lost his starting position at the World Cup. And
Okay, so
it wasn't just one
hold
game, it
on.
was 2 games. It was
Let me
two
ask you a
games
question.
because.
Thank you, you said that. Babatov, Champions League final, he did not start. Does that mean he lost his starting 11, starting position?
If you don't start if you don't start the biggest game, I'm not even saying if you're not in the squad though. If you don't start the biggest game, what do you call that? The biggest game, the most important game. What tells you? What
So
would you call that?
you've lost your position, your
Yeah,
starting
and
11.
when I say you lost it, you can also get it back. Like I said, Ronaldo has
Oh,
gotten back his starting
interesting.
position in the under a new manager. That's
Interesting.
yeah, it happens now. And
Okay.
people always think that. Let me just make a last point on this Ronaldo issue.
Okay.
People always think that when things like that are said about Ronaldo, that it's like an insult. It's not an insult. He's 30. What is he? 39, 38, 39. It's normal. People slow down. Look at Messi now. Messi, you saw Messi in the Champions League now. Messi couldn't move anymore. He couldn't play at that high level anymore, or at least for a long stretch. People like that, because they are phenomenal athletes, right? They can turn it on, like what Messi did at the World Cup. He played his life at that World Cup. But under, like, for a season, 5 months, 4 months, he can't do it. That's why he went to the MLS. It's the reason why he went there, not just because of money. He can't compete anymore at that kind of level. There's a reason too why Ronaldo went to Saudi Pro League. He can't compete, and it's not an insult. It happens. It's life. People, the body breaks down. It
Okay,
happens. No, it's not an
I'll give you
insult.
that. I'll give you that. I'll give you
Yeah.
that. So you're not telling me that you check the whole world from Africa, from the shores of, you say you went to East, I mean, your Anambra, or where are you from? You went on the streets of Anambra, from the streets of Anambra, depths of Isoko local government, the sandy roads of Ebonyi, stony roads of Ebonyi, where people play football barefooted. You check started from there all the way to the favelas of the Brazil slums, all the way to Argentina, all the way to America, down to Sweden, all the way. You search the depths and highs and lows and highs of the world. Is where Ghost that you decided to pick as your striker.
So I've said this before, and I don't know why you like skipping over this point. There are lots of things that go into recruitment of players, and right now, we've made that point before. Manchester United's recruitment strategy is poor, and you can't pin that on Ten Hag alone. Now, what goes on the pitch? If you're saying Ten Hag, that one you can pin it on him, but you have to apportion blame. The recruitment department, they are poor. When I was talking about my manager of the mid-season, I mentioned Unai Emery, but I also had to give his director of football props. That's Monchi. Because remember when Coutinho went down with the injury, and when what's his name? Tyrone Mings went down with the season-ending injury as well. They didn't cry. What Monchi did was that within days, not weeks, so within days, he made phone calls, did this one here and there. He got Zaniolo as a replacement for Coutinho. He got Clement Longley from Barcelona on loan as a replacement for Tyrone Mings. Quick, everybody went on with their lives. Nothing happened, and you can see what they are doing right now. That is a director of football that knows his job, that is, excellent at his job, that knows how to recruit and everything, all those kind of things. Now, what goes on the pitch itself is left for Unai Emery. You can't say supposing the Clement Longley turned out to be a flop, you can't start saying, oh, it's Unai Emery's fault for signing him. It's not his fault. It's not his job. There's somebody's job. That's someone else's job. So this vehicle that everybody keeps, hounding on, it is not Ten Hag's job to do that.
Okay, so
There are
I give
other,
you
it's
that.
somebody's job, and you're supposed to blame that person for doing a
Wait
poor
now, I
job.
give you that. I give you that. But if you notice, 80% of his recruitments are players that are from Netherlands or had played under him before. So,
That is because
how do you reconcile that? How do
is
you absolve
because they,
somebody of
that is because
responsibility?
they, that is because they are, it is they are running their recruitment department. So there is now an over-reliance on him to do that job, or there's an over-reliance on his recommendations. Trust me, with Ineos in charge of the team of the football, running the football department now, all those things that you have seen in the past of Dutch players or Ajax players or players that played in the Eredivisie moving into Manchester United anyhow, there's an end to that. It's not going to happen under these guys, because these guys, they are clearly more competent than the Glazers, clearly more competent. Are they the ideal partners? Are they the perfect owners? No, but definitely better than what we had before. So these guys, they are going to come in, they're going to change a lot of things, they're going to change the setup, they're going to do all that. There's going to be a change in Manchester United. Now,
Okay, no,
I'm
wait.
not saying things are going to be better, or I'm not saying things are going to, like, we're going to win the league now. I'm not going to say all that. So I'm not delusional, but I know for sure things are going to be better than they were when the Glazers were in charge of the running the football department, for
No
sure.
problem. No problem. I like how you've put all the blame on the owners at some point. Let's talk about what's happening on the pitch. What's going on the pitch right now?
No,
This
I mean
season,
that.
forget about last season. Talk about this season so far.
Oh yeah, no, there's definitely been a decline in terms of performances this season. There's definitely been a decline. I mean, you can blame that on player availability, and you can't deny that. Teams like Manchester City, they're not playing at the level that we expect them to be at, even though they are still fourth and they're not like way behind Liverpool in terms of points. I think maybe just 5 6 points behind Liverpool, and that's something they
With
but
the game in hand.
with the game in hand, but that's because, of course, Haaland was injured for like a month or close to a month. De Bruyne was out for
The whole season.
or four months, you get. So with these two key players out, and John Stones too, remember John Stones played a very key role for them last season. So for Manchester United, you can't dismiss the fact that injured players have hindered the way they play and all that. But at the same time, I think there are just some inexcusable results, some inexcusable decisions that he has made right from the very first game of the season. The kind of chances that United were giving up, they were high. My problem with Manchester United, it wasn't just that they were giving up chances to oppositions, it was that they were giving up high quality chances to oppositions, and it was still the same thing. Someone will cut back, then a player arriving the box very late,
Very late,
like will just hit the ball. We saw
yep.
that with the last defeat United had was to Nottingham Forest. We saw that against Nottingham Forest. In the very first game of the season, we saw that against Wolves. Wolves just happened to be very unlucky with their finishing that day. The following game, the second game of the season, was against Nottingham Forest. Remember, we were down 2-0 inside, I think, just 4 minutes or something like that.
Yes.
So that middle of the park, we were just giving up chances and chances. It was very easy to just go through. I like to say that Manchester United play a donut formation, There's nothing in the middle, just a hole in the middle. That was a that's
I know who they blamed.
who
Casemiro.
Casemiro.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's a structural problem. I don't think it's just one player that can be in the middle of all that. So I think when you have a problem like that that lasts for months and can be that a solution can be found, then you have to look at the manager. I think he is to blame for that. And he has, because he's fighting for his life, he's also prioritizing people that he knows can score goals for him over like a balance, which in a way I understand, but I know it's wrong.
So
So
Antonio can score goals.
no, I was going to say, not Anthony, please. I was going to say McTominay, the continuous usage of McTominay ahead of players that should ordinarily provide more balance in the team, you know, all those kind of things. So I mean, Mainoo was injured for the start from the start of the season. Casemiro was injured, Eriksen was injured, Mason Mount injured. So the two fit midfielders you've actually had were Bruno Fernandes and what's his name? And Scott McTominay. So all these things, I mean, when you look at them, there's a lot wrong with United, but
Okay, so I give you that.
I'm not going to give Ten Hag a pass. I firmly believe that he has messed things up. His player selection, I think he has been poor. There's just a lot wrong, and I feel like he has to take a large chunk of the blame, even though I know that, you know, the player availability, the injuries have played a huge part in what United we are supposed to do this season.
So the reason why I will not accept that excuse of player availability is because I remember saying this in last season and I banged on it. And I'm continuing saying this season because it's still manifesting and everybody will agree with me. Player unavailable or availability has not stopped Ange that just came yesterday to play his style of football. It has not stopped City from playing the way they play, even though we agree that. Oh, they have better players, they have better quality of players. Never stop Liverpool, even though Liverpool went to that rut, but when they had their injuries, they still played the same way. So, and this is the first time in a long time that I will not blame any player in that United squad for anything they are doing this season. Because I believe it's the whole system. The whole team is playing rubbish. That's why at the beginning of the season, when people were like, oh, Casemiro is the reason why we are causing those goals that you mentioned. Well, that's the reason why it looks like the midfield is empty. And I'm like, no, you guys, are you blind? This guy is the only one at the back. Everyone else is going forward as if they all want to score. And when we lose the ball, they don't have enough pace to recover to get the ball back. So of course, people are going to pass around Casemiro. It's normal. So I do not accept that excuse of injuries. But I mean, it's what it is.
My brother, there's no way. I mean, I get where you're coming from regarding like a clear and a defined style of play. I think that he's pretty much like perhaps the first Dutch manager that I've seen that hasn't come in to a team of any sort and nailed down a certain style of play. You know, it's just all over the place. I know all that, you know, transition football, whatever, it has not been properly implemented. You know, there's no,
Transition. Just
yeah, so I agree
got all
with
of us
you.
confused. Got
No,
all of us
I
confused.
agree with you.
Like
I'm not,
define transition football. Is it counter? Is we don't know. We don't know what transition football is.
so I'm not going to push back too much there. You have a good point. We've not been able to nail down a certain
Don't
style of
catch you now. I
football.
don't catch you. I know
No,
you
it's not a
say
matter.
catch
No,
you,
it's
catch you,
not.
catch
It's
you, catch
no.
you,
It's
catch you.
not.
Yes.
It's not a matter of. Yeah. See, we are pretty much saying the same thing because, like I said, there are excuses, there are reasons that have led to why the team has underperformed, but at the same time, it's still his job to get. You know, yeah. There's enough for him to be able to do better than he's doing right now. That's pretty much all I was trying to say. But I mean,
My
if you're very
final say. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're being very honest, if you look at Manchester United's season last year, what would you say was our best? Okay, just look at the defensive unit. So our back line and our DM or our midfield. What would you say for last season was our best? You have Luke Shaw at left back, right? You have Lisandro
Licha.
Martin Licha. You have Varane, or who would you have? Would you have Maguire or Lindelof, or who would you have beside Licha?
Verana.
Okay, Varane. Then at right back, who would you have?
Dalot.
Dalot. Okay, you have Dalot ahead of Wan-Bissaka. Okay, fair enough. Then in Casemiro, I'm guessing.
Casemiro. Yeah.
Okay, so when Manchester United were at their best last season, in your opinion, that was like five of our defensive units, right? Now this season, Shaw has been injured for large spells. Licha has been injured for large spells. Casemiro is in and out of the team. That's the making of the manager. Casemiro injured for large
No,
spells. So
Varane.
sorry, Casemiro as well. I've seen Casemiro. No, I said Varane has been in and out of the team.
Yeah.
Then so out of those five players that you mentioned, Dalot is the only person that has been fit throughout the season.
And the only
That
person that the manager has played, because he came out and said it's for tactical reasons, the bench Varane. It's I know that man is smoking something. No, tell me. Not, you cannot tell
Yeah.
me otherwise.
No. Yeah, so I'm saying no, that's why so things like that are why I said I still blame him eventually, but I can't deny the fact that if you have you mentioned five players, five of your defense, five members of your defensive unit, and you have three, okay, let's say three of them are out. That's 60%. You know, it's still significant.
Anyways,
But at the end of the day, Ten Hag has to do better. And if he loses his job, he will only have himself to blame.
So my final thought on this is that I still stand on the fact that you cannot Dutch managers always bring Dutch players and your club will not move forward. I stand on that. That's my thesis. This United and Ten Hag is going to prove me right again. So let's do quickly, very quickly. There are very few games coming up this weekend. Let's quickly predict those games. We have like less than 5 minutes to end the show. Why am I not seeing? Oh, there is a okay, EFL games. So on Friday, there's Burnley Luton. Who do you think is going to win that game?
Ooh, Burnley losing.
Yeah.
I'll go for a draw.
A draw? Okay.
Yeah, I like Luton Town. They're a very stubborn
They're very
side.
stubborn, but they're away. So, but I feel like
Yeah.
I pick Luton Town because I don't want that bored guy to win any game again. I'm a natural hater. I'm a natural
Go
hater.
bad Billy.
Babele
Go bad
is
Billy.
very Babele is allowed.
Yeah.
Chelsea, Fulham.
Chelsea.
Chelsea. Okay, I feel like Chelsea should win this game too. Newcastle City.
City.
City are back. I feel like they are back. KDB is gonna come back. Everton Aston Villa.
I'll go for a draw. I'm not bold enough to go for an Everton win. Aston Villa, they are shaky on the road, and Everton, these are the kind of games that
They
they.
love.
Yes, and I think they just overturned Calvert-Lewin's red card, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he might be available for this. So, but I'll play it safe. I'll go for a draw.
That card was ridiculous. I'll go for Villa win. A very,
Okay.
very tight game, maybe 2-1.
Okay.
But I kind of feel like if that counts, but I don't know. United Spurs.
Ooh, United Spurs. United Spurs. United hasn't shown me anything to make me have some faith in them. But at the same time, this Spurs side, they're depleted.
We are Tomo, so
Oh, Manchester United. Okay,
yeah.
then Tottenham win then.
Someone said the same thing yesterday. I was like, wow, you guys are no hope.
Yes,
I don't
no.
believe.
Old Trafford is
I'll
that's a
give
place
you
for
that.
Bonanza.
Okay. Man, I don't know, man. So, do you know, I'm not normally, I usually check like fixtures 5 games ahead, but I did not check this time around, and I checked yesterday. I saw United Spurs. I was like, oh God, no. No, I had a stressful weekend. Ah, Jesus. United win.
So you have faith in, after all you said about Ten Hag, you now have faith in him.
You know
Interesting.
the games that you expect United to win, they don't win. The game you expect them to lose, they win. So
Fair.
let's have a balance. I mean, if they win, I'll really be happy. If they lose, you don't spend weekend with that, but we'll see. Yeah. Anyways, thank you for staying awake, and we appreciate Madame for allowing you some time to spend some time with us. Hopefully, we'll try to do better to catch you during the day. So I'm trying to see if I can get guys to record on a weekend, but that's very, very difficult because over here the games are in the morning, and people usually have things they have to do during the day. So it's kind of difficult to get people around, but we'll work on that so that I will not keep you awake late. But thank you for not allowing me to do this alone today. Hopefully
Yeah,
we'll
my
get you
pleasure,
back,
man.
and hopefully you guys invite me on your podcast. I'm waiting
Yeah,
for
we
my
should actually set
invite.
that up. We actually set that up very soon.
I'm
We'll actually
expecting
set
my
that up.
invite. Until my invite.
No
Even if you just come and observe.
wala, bro. No, holla, bro. No,
Yeah.
holla, bro.
Thank
No,
you.
holla, bro.
Thank
We'll
you.
do that.
Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll do that, man. Thanks a lot. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Pray for your beloved manager, because
And
if it
like I
seems like
said,
they will
like,
sack him, they will sack him at the end of this season. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
my final word before signing out will be that Jadon Sancho should be imprisoned for at least 2 weeks.
Followed by Ten Hag, put them in the same
He's in
cell.
disgrace.
You decided to fight it out.
All right,
All right, thanks.
bro. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.